Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Yes, sir. I thought I was out. They pulled me back in.
The world's first comedy party, Skankfest NYC, is back. And we're going bigger than ever before.
Holy shit. I've done so much to make this a thing.
It was a lot.
Were you not a part of history?
This year, we have 3 full days of Skank festivities.
June 21st through 23rd at the Brooklyn Bazaar in Brooklyn, New York.
They want to hear the blop blop.
Of course they want to hear the blop blops.
They want it.
Over 150 stand-up comedians and live podcasts.
Including the Legion of Skanks, Ari Shaffir, Dan Soder, Michael Che, Cumtown, Janine Garofalo, the Lucas Brothers, Nate Bargatze, Kurt Metzger, Jake the Snake Roberts, Doug Benson, Tony Hinchcliffe, the Goddamn Comedy Jam, Robert Kelly, Bonnie McFarlane, Rich Voss, the Anthony Cumia Show, Believe You Me with Michael Bisping, Ron Bennington, and many, many more.
It is the Legion of Skanks.
Skankfest NYC is back.
There was a fantastic universal sense that whatever we were doing was right, that we were winning.
Tickets are on sale now at skankfestnyc.com.
It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're Rattlesnake, Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
And ships minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom?
Shannon, do me a favor.
All I ever
just pull up the weather right now in Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
Okay.
Tomorrow's weather. I need to just get through today without dying.
Are you going to go to Jamaica?
Yeah. Yes. I'm leaving in a few hours. 33 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Polar vortex in Jamaica. No, 83 and sunny. All right. That's all I got to do is look at
that. The weather is beautiful, but there is a civil war.
Yeah. So. I'm leaving at 4 in the morning.
Wow.
To go on vacation. 6 days in the sun. I'm trying to not be stressed out.
You deserve it.
Yeah. I've been traveling all day. Came back from Toronto last night. International travel. 3 different countries in 2 days. It's a little bit much.
What's the third country? Oh, Jamaica.
Yeah, we got a great show planned, guys. Quick one today. I know I didn't get one in earlier today, but I wanted to get one in tonight. I didn't want to miss a show. And I have two very close friends here. Tim Dillon's here.
Yes, thank you very
What's up,
much.
Big boy?
Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you here. Also, Ian Fidance, fresh off of his banning at the Gas Digital Studios.
He's back.
Right,
he's
it's
back.
Good to be back.
Yeah. How long was his ban?
It was 3 months.
What did he do?
He bailed on my show morning of.
Yeah.
Like just right. He was supposed to be here. Then I found out he wasn't coming. Night before it was?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was a little overreactive, I guess.
And I booked someone to fill in.
3 months is heavy. And I thought he raped Chad. I was
that's
3 months.
That's how he got back in.
Right. That's how he got in. Okay.
Yeah. He showed me his allegiance.
What could anyone do for 3 months? Wow.
Yeah. It was a nice vacation.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
How have you been, Ian?
Been great.
Yeah.
Feel good. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, very happy to have you here today. Mm-hmm. Throwing on some nice, calm, relaxing music. I've been dealing with a lot of stress right now, and I'm not going to get into it. I really want to have a very positive show. But what happens is when I travel, you lose reality. Like, I don't know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Like, the past 2 days, what's the big thing? What is Pete Davidson doing? Who's he fucking?
Right.
What's the big...
The real issues.
The real issues out there.
Right.
Well, can I? You know what? Fuck it. Shannon, let's guess the news.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to know more information.
I should have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Man, these guys don't know shit.
You get a kick out of it every time, Ian. A lot's been happening past couple days. I'm going to guess that... Am I close? Let me see.
We haven't said anything yet.
Hold on. Time out. Hold on. Wait. Give me a second here. Can I get a hint at least? Can you give me a topic of news? What's a news topic that happened?
There was an attack between a person and an animal at a zoo.
True.
That's fun. A person and an animal at a zoo.
Now, the animal attacked the person.
Puerto Rican attacked.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican attacked
the animal
human.
Attacked. There was a woman who was trying to get a selfie with a jaguar.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that actually true?
Yeah.
I was going to guess it, Tim. You didn't let me guess it. You just told me the answer.
Oh, I apologize.
I was supposed to guess the animal and the type of person and all that other shit.
Yeah, I forgot this, the way it works. I apologize. I forgot Guess the News is guessing the news.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I apologize. Well, there's more to guess in the story. Is she alive? Is she dead?
You know
Are
what?
They going to put the jaguar to sleep?
Are they going
to
kill the jaguar or not?
Does it live?
Does it live?
Does it live or does it die?
All right, I say the woman lives. They are debating putting this jaguar to sleep right now.
You got it, but you gotta say whether he's going to sleep or not.
Okay, all right. I say the woman lives, jaguar dies.
Interesting.
And what happened to the woman? Guess what happened to the woman?
She learned not to fuck with jaguars anymore. She learned a valuable lesson.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to her? I'm going to guess she's got some scratches. Not even that big of a deal. I'm going to guess she got some scratches maybe on her neck and her ear. Okay, she dropped her phone. She's upset about that. And now they're going to put down this jaguar, and everyone's like, oh, shit. Well, come on. We're sort of overreacting now. They're putting in a three-month Ian Finance ban on this jaguar over probably not that bad of an offense.
Yeah, he's got to fuck Shannon to kill this thing.
Exactly.
Can we get a verdict? You're very close.
Am I very close? What happened here? Do we have video of it, too? Tell me there's video.
The woman is alive.
Okay.
And they are not doing anything to the jaguar.
They're not doing anything to the jaguar.
They're not doing anything to the jaguar because she called the jaguar an N-word.
No, she didn't.
That's why he was justified.
Okay. I got it.
So.
Let's see. Is there actually a video of the attack?
No, I don't have video of the attack, but I have video of her writhing in pain after.
Give us something.
I would love to see that.
How about giving us something?
I would love to see her writhing in pain. Jaguar attack. Here we go. Here we go. Here goes some volume here. Why not? I want to hear her writhing in pain.
The Wildlife World Zoo Aquarium.
No, she has a lower back tattoo.
It happened at the Wildlife World
Zoo. Oh, yeah, she does have a lower back tattoo. He doesn't like horse.
Yeah.
He's like, slut.
And Safari Park near Phoenix Saturday. Anna Werner is here with how another quick-thinking zoo visitor came to the rescue. Anna, good morning.
Good morning. Well, the woman in this
sprayed
incident
it with
says
a water bottle.
No, I wasn't attacked. She instead told CBS News she calls it a crazy accident. The jaguar has been taken out of the exhibit while the zoo investigates, but officials say the animal will not be put down because it was not at fault.
She got some gashes.
That gash has some gashes.
Yeah.
Encounter with a jaguar at the Wildlife World Zoo.
Look at that.
Authorities say the woman crossed this concrete barrier to take a selfie when the animal reached out and clawed her
arm. Whoa, so she actually, okay, I got it.
Video.
The claws that were retracted were definitely outside of the cage.
Whoa.
Grasped her hand, and she was holding it, her other hand, arm, with her hand attached to the paw, just screaming.
And I'm going to be honest with you,
a water bottle to get the jaguar.
What'd I say? A fucking water bottle.
No, you were good.
I just guessed the news.
Yeah.
Push it into, you know, the cage.
His butthole.
And so that's when
she shoved the bottle into his ass.
Paw off and grabbed the bottle with the mouth.
The woman tells CBS News she's grateful to her rescuers, but unhappy their video was made public.
Is this not just hysterical?
So
she's not dead. She's just got scratches.
Great.
Barrier.
Yeah, you need.
Does meet federal guidelines.
Okay, there you go.
People.
Yeah, I mean,
imagine if you were at the zoo that day and saw that. you would be like, this is worth the price of admission. Oh, you're probably easily. Bored with your shitty kids, and you're like, fuck, it's hot. And then you see this dumb bitch cross a barrier, put her face, and you just
by the way, the whole time
thing.
You're watching it, you're like going like, please, please. I mean, please let this jaguar.
Please let this jaguar hook this bitch's face.
Please. All I want to do is have her face permanently disfigured.
I just want to watch a maiming, yeah, and you, then you get it.
For $18.
Great.
A full-fledged maiming.
How full would Zeus be if you were guaranteed a maiming?
It's almost like why hockey's awesome, because you're almost guaranteed a fight every time.
100%.
Like, if they were like, NASCAR. All right, we're going to let a dumb bitch get maimed.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every time.
Or almost every time, the zoos would be fucking...
It would be huge. I would go all the time.
Yeah. Zoo resurgence.
Zoos are terrible, by the way. Yeah. They're very boring.
They're boring.
Well, they're also, the animals are clearly being tortured.
Yeah.
And like drugged. And they're just laying there,
the
sad Bronx and miserable.
The zoo is not big. It's a tiny little zoo. They have these shitty little cages, and they have these shitty little Bronx animals.
Yeah.
And they're sitting like in there, and
they're called Dominicans,
yeah. Right? And they are, and you can
livery
tell.
Cab drivers,
yeah, and, livery cab just... drivers. That's a great exhibit, the livery cab exhibit at the Bronx Zoo. It's just a bunch of livery cab drivers who themselves have been scarred by their passengers.
Yes,
dude. There was literally once a week there was a story in the New York Post: livery cab passenger just beheads driver in the middle yeah. of the ride. They would just decapitate the driver.
And I didn't always side with the driver there, because you have to, 100%. What happened before that?
Yeah.
100%. I was just in an Uber pool. You cannot take Uber anymore in New York. It's too expensive.
You took Uber pool.
I took Uber pool, which is disgusting.
No.
And you need an hour. You need a solid hour between you and what you need to do in an Uber pool.
I've never taken an Uber pool in my life.
I know, so
I would
bad.
Be so afraid that it would be somebody that knows me in the Uber pool.
It would be embarrassing.
It would be a fucking embarrassment.
I know.
It's really bad. I had a driver one time. This is actually started fucking me up, because a driver knew who I was.
Really?
And he didn't say it until the end of the ride.
Really?
The end of the ride. I was like, all right, thanks. He was like, hey, man, are you Luis J. Gomez from the Believe You Me podcast?
Right.
And I was like, shit, dude, if I was my normal self, it was a 50-50 shot. I was just
he knew you from the podcast.
Yeah.
I thought he was like, were you the guy that slapped his girlfriend at that bodega last night at 2 a.m.? You look like that guy.
There was a 50-50 shot that I'd be just flicking boogers into the back of his head the whole ride.
Yeah.
Because I hate cab drivers so much. And luckily, I was fine this time.
That's one thing that me and you both hate. We hate working people.
Yeah, it's not that I hate working people.
We don't hate them, but we hate them.
Cab drivers are scum suckers.
They're
fucking worse.
Thanks, Ian.
Kill yourself.
It's not that they're bad people. It's just that...
No, they're bad people.
This is going to sound bad.
No, say
this is going to sound bad. People that that do the daily grind...
Yeah, kill them.
It's not kill them. If they are content with it...
Right.
There's something wrong with that person.
Well, some of them are not operating on, like, some of them are retarded.
Yeah. That's also true.
You know?
Like cops.
But I couldn't imagine,
right.
Like...
I don't like cops either. Cops suck. I don't look at cops and respect them.
No, I don't respect anybody. I don't really...
Anyone in a uniform, let's be honest. A uniform makes you look at somebody and go, eh.
It is. It's sort
unless it's
of,
like a Catholic schoolboy high school uniform.
Then it makes you go,
then you're like, you're about to take over the world. Yeah. All right.
I think there's something about, you know, and I look at my family, because like my Aunt Amory worked her whole life in like a curtain factory.
Yeah.
And she never dreamed any bigger than that. And
are you telling me?
If I was.
Then Amory Gomez.
Amory Miller.
Amory Miller.
Amory Gomez.
Working at the curtain factory. Did not want to have a podcasting network.
She did not. She didn't see anything bigger than that.
Fucking bitch.
Not even like, I'm going to own this factory one day.
Right.
Like in my mind, if I'm working in a curtain factory, at the minimum, I'm going to go, all right, I'm going to own this place in one day. I couldn't imagine just being here and having somebody above me in 10 years at fucking Hornick's.
Yeah.
Curtain factory.
I am content with just making the curtains.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Emery, do you want to do anything else?
Make more the curtains.
Maybe make it more curtains.
And you know they're abused. You know they're abused in that job. Like some guy's just on the line grabbing her pussy. Hey, Emery, welcome to work.
Hello. That's how we say hello.
Welcome to Hornet.
You got tits, Emery.
We don't get lunch, but we get the 12 noon pussy grab.
She's not a Hispanic woman. It's an Italian woman. I don't know why we've created Emery Miller. She's from my white side.
Hey, it's a time for you to grab my pussy.
Hey, I'm making it a curtain. You like it a curtain? I'm making it a curtain for you. And a money.
And a money Miller.
But you get what I'm saying. And I feel bad because what's going to happen is there's going to be people that are hearing this. I lose fans every time I do this. I start trashing. Like,
it's a comedy podcast, folks. Number one. We're not senators.
Yeah. I'm serious.
I know, Lewis. Right, I'm trying now. To give us some cover. I know. We're all serious. I'm trying to give us cover.
It's not like Harrington and Shannon, you guys. You don't want to be where you're at right now in 10 years, right? Like, you want to be above me. You want to be the boss. You want to, there's a bigger picture. This is one step toward a bigger thing, correct?
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes, Shannon and Harrington both starting their own networks very soon. That's the vibe I get.
Look, you want them to have the right attitude. Not everyone's going to get.
Of course.
Not everyone's going to get there.
Harrington had a notebook the other day and he was scribbling NBC. And then he had a little bubble figure and he wrote me. And then he was holding NBC like he owned it. So I thought, oh, Harrington's going to buy NBC. That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, right. The second Shannon sniffs another dream, Lewis is going to fucking backhand her.
Yeah.
You're leaving the network.
Now, Shannon, she knows that this is a one step. Now, look, granted, you know, they're going to probably all continue to work for
me. I feel similar to Shannon. She just wants a guy with a big dick to punch her in the face and fuck her right. And I agree.
I want to have money in the bank.
I agree. Okay.
Money in the bank.
That's true.
I was listening to Black Women the other day, just like... talk.
That's my favorite podcast. That's number three on the charts.
Yeah, listening to Black Women Talk.
And now NPR presents Listening to Black Women.
White Niggas Ain't Shit. With your host.
You still talking to Derek?
Damn, this bus better come.
Oh, white boy, you is dumb. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the podcast. Oh, white boy, you is dumb. Mm-hmm. What? You guys don't listen to that one? It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Black Women Talk, and they were just in the deli.
They're so funny.
They're very funny.
They're like the naturally funniest people, I think.
They're very
certain
funny.
Age.
This girl was not she was not that funny. She was talking to her friend, and she was talking about how, and it was she was very serious. She was like, look, I ain't giving up my pussy unless a nigga's paying my bills.
Great. I'm with
Smart
it.
Smart woman.
I like it.
She's like, why are you just giving it up for free? And
she's right.
Like,
she's been burned too many times.
I have more respect for her than my Aunt Anne-Marie who worked at Hortus.
Yeah.
Like, by leaps and bounds. Because had Anne-Marie not given up that pussy for free, she probably would have been making currents her whole life.
That's
for fucking
true.
$8 an hour.
This is a conversation my father had with me when I was a kid.
Don't give that
he
pussy
said,
away
don't
for free.
Give your pussy away for free. Do you understand me, young man? I said, yes.
No, look at me. Look at me.
Yeah.
Say it back to me. I'm not going to give away my pussy for free.
Dad, I will not give away my pussy for free.
Yeah.
Kid, a friend of mine, well, I haven't seen in a while, a young kid just died of heroin. Are anybody you know dying of heroin? So many people on Long Island are just dying.
Shannon, but it's kratom and it's legal.
Right.
but, you know, that's fine. Yeah, she's pretty much the only addict that I know. I don't know anybody who's currently on heroin.
Interesting.
I don't really surround myself
with I don't either, but sometimes
addicts.
You see on Facebook someone died.
Yeah.
So I had to donate $300 to a GoFundMe for his funeral because it was so sad, dude. The GoFundMe was like, they were like, his mom, she couldn't afford the plane ticket, and it's very hard for her because she had her leg amputated, she's in a wheelchair. And then the kicker, I swear to God, the last line of the GoFundMe was, and she has gone fully blind. So I'm like, well, I go to the GoFundMe and it's everyone that I grew up with and everyone's giving like $50 and then
so
one of my
on
friends
him.
Gave $250. So I'm like, I got to edge him.
Yeah, of course you do.
And I gave $300.
Too much.
Wow.
I know.
But you have to keep up the appearance of being the most successful. This is also
Yes, Lewis.
This is why you're taking Uber pools. This actually, if you're going to invest in something.
Yes.
Right? You're right. It's smarter to say I will invest in a nicer wedding gift for an important person, or I'm going to invest in publicly giving more,
convincing people I'm where I'm not.
Because what you're doing is forget just what you're donating. You're purchasing
an image.
Yes.
An idea.
And that's what you're doing.
A creation.
So you lose the money on the Uber pool.
Right.
You know, you're probably not going to get recognized in an Uber pool. You might, but that one person doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
I understand that. I really do like that, Timmy. I have no problem with that. And also, the end result there is...
Someone gets helped.
They get helped. So what does it fucking matter if you have a narcissistic, borderline psychopathic goal here?
Right. Yes.
If it's a net positive, here's the other thing that happened to me. These GoFundMes, they're fucking me, dude.
Yeah.
So check this out. I donated to this woman. I almost wanna bring this up. I've been debating bringing it up and getting the fans to donate to this woman.
Yeah.
Okay. Because her daughter, I talked about this a little bit, Shannon, so I apologize for rehashing this a little bit, but it keeps on going. It keeps on going. I'll pull it up right now. Okay. So I donated. Bisping posted this thing, okay? Reposted. It wasn't even a GoFundMe. It was a fucking fundraiser.
For who could say that?
It's not even a GoFundMe. It's a fundraiser. And this little girl was dying, and she was born with this weird disease or whatever. And the goal was $177,000. I didn't notice this.
By the way, for what? For what?
What is
to build a house?
Yeah.
So she can die in it.
Apparently, the medication that she has is very, very expensive. Now,
it's called throwing good money after bad.
Here's what I did.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'll donate $50, whatever. Right. You know, Bisping posted it.
Right.
I don't know this person, whatever. So I click it, and then I'm like,
$50 is not even medicine. It's just you know, when they test out the syringe and a little spills on top.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
$50.
But, you know, it's $177,000 goal. I'm assuming whatever, every little bit helps, right?
Yeah.
Famous people are posting it. Right. So then I go and look, and they're at fucking 11% of the goal. They're at 18,000.
Yeah.
And this thing was started a year ago.
Right.
It's not going well.
That's so sad.
Timo, it's not going well. So now I'm like, all right, can I have my 50 back? But then I didn't, obviously.
Yeah.
I keep the 50. You know, it's literally just throwing money into a well. So then I'm like, all right, this is fucking me up. She sends a thing where she's like, hey, this business will match every donation we get this week, right? So I was like, fine. So I donate 100. So now I'm 150 in the hole to this kid. I don't even fucking know this kid, okay?
Right.
This bitch sends another thing. Oh, these businesses are going to match now this other thing. Now, what she does is, I'm not even on an email list where I can hit unsubscribe. The mom took my email address and now personally just messages everybody that donated.
Wow.
So I can't actually unsubscribe. So now it's just updates, and it's like her being like, I'm begging for your help. My daughter's going to die this week if we don't get our medication.
Yeah, but is it all the inevitable?
And I'm going like, unfucking subscribe.
Yeah. Oh, it's
how do I get this out of my life right now? I'm sorry, lady. I feel bad. I donated $150. I can't watch your kid die. This is not my thing.
And you know the parents are like on a cruise somewhere, just fucking
in Jamaica. I'm going to be some party.
You're going to see him in Jamaica. They're going to be doing shots out of limes. It's very sad, but the reality of the situation is it's very, very, very tough. You cannot give to everything. And there's a lot of good ones. Every GoFundMe, a lot of them are bullshit, but most of them are decent. Most of them are people you'd like to help. Brianna got brain cancer. That's a big one.
Well, it's always good.
Brianna's 27.
If they could use alliteration, you're going to get a little more money.
Brianna's brain cancer. Big. She's 27, came out of nowhere. One day she woke up and she said, I have a slight headache. She went to the doctor and the doctor said,
more monkey jumping on the bed?
You're going to die.
It's over, Brianna.
And then you got to get, now she needs funeral expenses. Her husband's in trouble. He's lost his job because he's got to take off work to care for her because she's drooling and slurring and stumbling all over the house.
Oh.
It sucks. This is very sad.
Yeah.
She's at that point. You might as well raise money for a fucking shotgun and a shovel.
Yeah,
it's not worth it to keep them alive.
And it's a lot. I feel bad for this little girl. You know what I think I can do?
I mean, what stage with her cancer? Does she have cancer?
I don't even know what it is, man.
You don't even know what's wrong with her.
If I get diagnosed with a terminal disease, and by if I mean when, I will raise money to get fucked to death at the 9/11 memorial because that's the way I want to die. I want to be fucked to death in front of tourists.
Yeah,
taking selfies.
I just can't, and I
life
feel,
is meaningless, folks. It's a dark episode.
If I block her email address, is she going to get a message saying that I'm blocking her?
Well, yes, but life blocked her daughter.
That's also true.
It's very sad. We try to do what we can.
Yeah.
Tell her that. Say, I've done everything I could.
Email her back and go, what's the end game?
Yeah.
No, literally, email her back and go, help me help you. What's the end game?
Yeah. Email her back, be like, hey, can you edit? We need some more interns here at Guest Digital.
Yeah, can you do? I'm going to throw you a couple of $100. Can you moderate some comments on the website? Can you moderate some comments?
Yeah, I don't know what to do here. I'm going to probably just block the email address and then just fucking.
It's tough. Shannon, I get it.
You can set up a rule in Gmail if that's where the emails are going to, so that they just automatically go into your junk folder.
Okay.
What if she makes a miraculous turnaround, the kid?
And then I'm just putting her in my junk folder. I'm not even getting the updates.
You don't even know. And then
who cares, though?
A year later.
It's so sad that this woman is just sending emails begging for money to save her daughter to a junk email.
I know.
Oh, God. You just respond or block her. Don't put it in your junk email. I think you should
forward
respond.
Forward it to Ian.
Yeah, forward it to
me. If he's going
to
be a fucking white knight, forward it to fucking him. He's going to talk about...
What am I supposed to do here?
What's he
gonna
do, Ian?
I'm supposed to read weekly updates.
No, tell her you don't want any more updates. Say, I've done everything I can.
Up. You
email
think I emailed
her
the girl?
And ask her if can't. Email her and say, "Can I kill your daughter? Can I come to your house and kill your daughter?"
I'm just gonna email her the word unsubscribe,
ma'am. We got shit to do.
Yeah,
we can't. Listen, man, I can't. That's why I gotta get off Facebook. Everybody on Facebook. They've got a dead dog they're eulogizing.
When do you
got to GoFundMe?
It's so difficult to choose what to donate to. I try. Look, I don't donate a ton of money, but
here's where I donate. This is a good rule.
What's the rule?
If it's a way for me to posture and make myself look good publicly in front of people, I donate.
Makes sense.
Because here's the deal. Now, people are listening to this going, Tim's a psychopath.
No.
But here's the reality. I can't donate to everything. And I can't also evaluate who deserves and who doesn't.
So because there has to be a measurable effect.
There has to be a measurable. Yeah, so that's the way I, because I'm psychotic, but I'm also
and
right.
And if you're throwing the money out, right? So like, fuck it. So there's all of these charities, whether it's actually a business or it's an individual or whatever it is. Fine. It's going somewhere. The money's being filtered in through whatever charitable purposes. You're saying it, that you actually can quantify what you're doing and you can put your, it's the best way to describe it. You can quantify where that money's going for you.
Yeah, I could say, listen.
Because there's no way to really say, hey, is this truly helping anybody?
There's no way. There's no fucking way. All I can do is if I read something and it's in my community, this kid I grew up with, he used to swim in my pool like we were buddies when we were kids. I know his mother. Not well. We fell out of fucking contacts. I don't use heroin.
Yeah,
you can't hang out with people who do heroin if you don't.
It's really hard to hang out with heroin
because they're all about heroin.
Yeah.
So, but he died, and I'm like, well, everyone from
I'm like sitting here, I was like, dude, I'm in the mood for coffee.
Yeah.
And he's over here. It's like, dude.
He's like, dude, you don't even know.
You haven't even opened your eyes today.
You don't even know. So I just figured if I put 300,
yeah,
and I check it all the time. I'm like, am I the top guy?
Yeah.
I was going to go in with 5, and then I sobered up.
That's crazy.
I sobered up.
That's crazy.
I sobered up. I said no. But I went in with 3. I was like, am I going to be the top donation? There are people on Facebook eulogizing this kid like he's their brother, giving 50, 75. Maybe they're in that position. That's fine. But I do. That's
fine.
Are
you going to go to the funeral?
What?
Are you going to go to the funeral?
Get fucking real. I got a fucking date in D.C., Michelle Wolf. You fucking better ask somebody. I'm going to be at some fucking funeral with a bunch of fucking LiPo workers. I'm kidding. I would. Now, here's the thing. I hope the funeral is tomorrow or Thursday during the day so I can go and get thanked for my donation.
And show everyone.
Yeah, you got to reap the benefits.
And kind of lord myself. Yes, hello. But it's probably going to be Friday when I'm fucking in D.C.
Yeah. Yeah. They should make funerals more fun.
I really would
like... If they made it more like a wedding, more people would
No, because
would
I
know.
Could go, I could cry, the mother will hug me, I'll feel great.
Can you cry?
I will get close to it. It will look like... No, I could cry.
You could cry?
I could cry. I could cry.
I could barely cry for my own
kid?
Mom.
It's not for this kid, but it's the whole scene.
Like the plural.
It's the scene,
cry,
because
the
I'll walk
view.
In and people will be like, oh, you've been doing comedy, or I saw you on Rogan or whatever, and I'll be like, that's not what matters. Yeah. This is what matters. And they'll look at me strangely, and I'll be like, I want it. We're all just children. I'll say something retarded that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
We're all just babies.
We are the world.
And I was like, and then I'll say nonchalantly, that's why I donated $300 to make this all possible.
Yeah.
Is there a kick?
Or, you know, he'll go around, he'll ask other people, like, hey, did you donate?
How much did you donate?
He knows exactly
did
what
you donate?
I'll do. He knows exactly
Because then they're going to go check if he donated, and they'll see.
How did you
That'll influence others to donate. Yeah. You're helping.
Exactly. But as sick as this sounds, I think it helps people. It helps people.
Yeah. If they made funerals more fun, I would definitely want to make it to them. I don't really... it's kind of difficult to get me to go to a funeral. It's just a sad thing. Everyone's crying. I don't even really care about the dead body or any of that. Watching people's genuine sadness, it bothers me.
But it connects me to humanity.
I don't need to be connected to humanity.
I love a funeral. I love a stranger's funeral. I like to sit there and just see how that life has stakes and that it's real and that you're going to go.
I've only been to poor person funerals, which is another level of sad. That's another level of sad. I just realized this. It's like, it's always the stock casket.
My friend's mother died in Connecticut. They don't have a lot of money, but they had a nice spread. They had a big lunch, nice big church. And my friend's like, he knows that I'm a comedian. Like, I'm judging his eulogy because he had some jokes and he did well, but he cried through the jokes, which is no one hears. So I kind of judge and I say you did a great job. You got to be there for people, but it was a really nice lunch and it was really well done.
I cried pretty hard the other night with my son. That was pretty funny. We were watching.
Was it why?
Knockout videos.
We were watching bump fights.
Watch this white motherfucker get it, James. Why are they hitting that white woman? She deserves it. That's why.
Just crying, watching videos of the knockout game.
You're like, this is so beautiful, son. This is slavery.
Look.
This is beautiful. Look at this guy. He doesn't even know he's going to get it. Now he's done, son.
Fuck, that's hilarious. I was watching Christopher Robin. Do you see this movie?
No,
I've heard of it.
I know Christopher Robin's like Batman's gay sidekick.
Is that no? That's Robin.
Oh, that's Robin.
That's Robin. No. It's
Christopher Robin is the dude from Winnie the Pooh.
It's the story about how Robin got AIDS.
Gay sidekick.
It's like Dallas Buyers Club.
It's like
with
Philadelphia,
Robin.
But it's Robin.
Batman's like, I know you've done some shit I don't even want to know about. Robin.
Hey, did you share my toothbrush?
Why is there a hole in the crotch of your uniform?
Robin, we both know how you've lived and how you will die.
It's an abomination.
The Joker sent me a video of you doing ungodly things.
I hear you're dating a man named the Penguin.
Dude, Christopher Robin is the Winnie the Pooh movie.
Okay, so what's that about?
You think it's going to be about Winnie the Pooh.
But it's not.
You want to see a trailer?
I would love to see a trailer.
Yes, Shannon, look at this.
Good.
God, I wish it was a fight video.
Like a party.
Come on, babe.
What should happen if you forget about me?
Oh, no.
Stop it.
This is the Michael Jackson documentary. I think we got... This is the Michael Jackson documentary. What will happen
if you forget about me? He's eating the kid's ass on a bed.
Let's make a kiss to remember each other forever.
Go ahead, go.
Forget about you, Pooh. I promise. Not even when I'm 100.
We should be working this weekend, Robin.
But I promised my wife and daughter I'd take them away this weekend.
All hands on deck.
You won't be coming to the cottage.
Well, it can't be helped.
Your life is happening now, right in front of you.
And by the way, this is the whole tone of the movie. There's not a single happy moment. It's just fucking old timey. Like,
you have to come to the cottage.
Downtown Abbey fucking energy.
I knew one thing. We're not going to see one black person this entire movie. We're going to see pigs and rabbits that talk and dance. But we're never going to see a black. We may see an Indian for a second. But they will have an accent just like ours.
Oh, Tigger, you say. I'm sorry. I thought you said.
There are too many Tiggers in the apartment building we own in Portsmouth.
Good.
What to do indeed.
Who?
Christopher Robin.
No.
The tree I remember was in the countryside, not here in London. There's no opening. I suppose it's where it needs to be.
Oh, that's a silly explanation.
Cool. Why, thank you. Who?
Also.
Why are you here? Oh,
Yes, and I need your help. I've lost all
I didn't realize how small Pooh's shirt is. It's not just that he's wearing pants. He's wearing a crop top as well.
He looks like a fat girl from Long Island at Nassau Community College smoking a Parliament light. Is the voice of the original Pooh the same? No, but it's close.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
Look, that's I don't know. We watched half of it because what happened was, at one point, my kid's just watching the sad movie, and Christopher Robin, he's older, and he doesn't have time, and he's like, I just don't have time, Pooh. I've got to work, Pooh. And he's like, but why do you have to work, Christopher Robin? He's like, I just got to go away, Pooh.
I've got to record a podcast.
I own a podcast studio, Pooh. And merchandising. We make our own t-shirts, Pooh. So then I look over at James, and I can see he's like welling up, like his eyes are welling up.
Really?
And I'm like, I was like, James, are you going to cry? And he goes, Christopher Robin's being mean to Pooh.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's so mean. Why is he being mean to Pooh? And I'm like, well, James. And I was like, he grew up and he doesn't have time anymore to play with him because as you get older, you get responsibility.
Let's watch something happy. HBO, Leaving Neverland. Cue it up. James is like, this is great. There's roller coasters.
That was it, though. As soon as I started explaining the why.
It's very sad. But I mean,
just, you know, and then it was just me and him, like, I'm crying and he's crying. And we're both just holding each other crying. And we're like, we got to turn this fucking movie off. Let's turn on Batman.
And the cops are like, there's a woman who was passed out in the kitchen who was hit. That's why we're here. Can you explain how that happened?
Yeah. Well,
that's it.
That was sad, yeah.
That's the way it is.
Very sad. But it's sort of the same plot line as Hook.
Yeah.
Prozep and forgets.
There's no new ideas.
That's really it.
Everything's the same plot
line. That's how you execute it. That's it.
Leaving Neverland, the same plot line in Catholic religion. Everything's the same shit.
I had another person steal. I have multiple people stealing a joke. I've never written a good joke, so I finally did. And now
people
it's
taking it?
Being taken on Twitter and
who's
like memes.
It?
Just people just take it. And they're not even creative.
Oh, that's you.
For $250 an hour, I'll pretend to be a couple therapists.
Yeah, people are taking that.
Doggy. Everywhere. This one dude, he put a meme with his face in a suit, and you're like, dude, you have no shame. I don't even care.
Right.
Somebody else was like, dude, that was an episode of King of Queens. You didn't even think of it first. I was like, sure. I probably didn't think of it first.
Right.
But there is no original ideas.
There's
it's
nothing.
How you execute the idea.
Right. I mean,
these motherfuckers just copy and paste the joke and put it as their own. They don't even, if you just take the words of it and type it in Twitter or just Google it, just a few of the keywords. There's 1,000 people have just taken it and they just copy
that's
and paste it and pass it off as their own. This guy's killing it. Yeah, for $250 an hour, I'll pose as a couple therapists.
That'd be so funny to see your face on that guy's body.
I know. Yeah, I'm almost there. But it's just that sort of a thing. I think this is what everyone got upset about.
Fuck Jerry.
Yeah, but then you sort of realize
fat
like
Jewish.
Guys, it's like it's too difficult of a culture to really get mad. Like, I'm just saying, fuck this guy. I'm not going like, joke thief. He should be taken. It's like they're not comics. Most people. What's funny is when you see that, because I got into an argument with a bunch of hookers over the same thing. Because I saw a hooker. I didn't realize it was a hooker. I thought it was just a chick who had a lot of followers. Uh-huh. She posted it, so I was like, you stole this joke from me, hooker. And then she started arguing back and forth with me, and all the people that are on her timeline are going like, who fucking cares, you loser?
Right.
You care about a joke?
That's such a good
these
point.
Words, and
it's
they're
kind
right.
Of a good point.
They're fucking right. They couldn't be any more right.
That's such a good
we
point.
Are fucking losers because I put these words in this order.
Yeah, who cares?
The amount of effort that was put into it was fucking nothing. It was a thought. That's the other part. If somebody steals, like, you know, a fucking movie that you edit and, like, pass it, or a script you write and you try to pass it off as your own, but if somebody steals a tweet of yours that literally. You go, oh, cool. And then you kind of compose it a couple of different times. You go, oh. And then a minute later, you have a tweet and somebody else says it. You're like, well, I mean, who fucking cares? It's one minute of your time. Let's say your time is worth, even on the high end, $500 an hour, right? So somebody just stole fucking $8 from you. Who cares?
Yeah, but all that shit when everyone was like, unfollow, fuck Jerry. It's like, that didn't do shit to those aggregator accounts.
Yeah, they don't care.
No,
and
they don't,
all those people are just doing that because they're like, well, maybe one day this person will hire me to write on Young Sheldon.
Comedians
like
are
just
idiots, and we think people give a fuck about our what we do. They don't. What they do, they go, what happened was with Fat Jewish, I remember this was the thing that people would go, they'd go, you made it better. Who cares?
Here's the other thing. If you're going to be a comedian, here's some advice. Be something that can't be fucking reposted, you fucking loser.
Yeah.
You're unique.
Be more than a meme.
Controls supply and demand.
Be more than a fucking meme. Paul F. Tompkins had a great bit. He's like, yeah, I don't write jokes. I write material that's delivered from a unique point of view.
Yeah.
So all you people writing jokes out there, good luck.
Yeah.
Paul F. Tompkins has a great bit where he goes, you know why nobody cares about joke theft? Because that's how humor's passed on.
Yeah.
Regular people do it. He goes, maybe they'll say, I heard this at a party.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. If you're really good, they're going to go, oh, this comic said
this. Right, right.
So that's actually a really great point.
It's a great point.
And I just filmed my special, and we could take a moment really quick and plug some things right now.
Yeah.
I will say April 1st, you guys can purchase my special. Luis J. Gomez Presents Luis J. Gomez. Anywhere you can buy a comedy special. But it's interesting to say that because I'm going through my special and being unique and not, and you know, with the way Schumer got fucking dragged through the mud and the way other people get dragged through the mud for stealing jokes. Being unique is something that's really on my mind. Like, as I'm watching, I'm going like, oh, is that, has somebody done that? And you'll obsess over it. You'll obsess to the point where you fucking, you'll like, really like, you're
Lewis
not.
Lewis just releases a special. It's literally Bring the Pain, word for word. Lewis like, did someone do that?
Every time you having fun, black people come around.
It's just that joke over and over again. I like black people. I just keep on saying I hate niggers over and over again. It's none of the other part of the joke.
Like, has someone done this?
At the bank.
Yeah, no, but being unique is really important. But if you are have somewhat of a personality at all, like, you know, you guys are obviously very personality driven. Nobody could do what you do. Nobody could do, even if they did your same joke, even if they took your words, it's going to be so fucking different.
Right.
Because it's so you. It's coming from your perspective. It's embedded within another hour of material that it, that kind of props everything up. It all kind of flows into each other. So sometimes you kind of see that. And, you know, I do think it was a lot of parallel thinking with Schumer specifically.
I don't think she's
lazy
fucking
writing. I don't think it was her looking at any joke a single time and going, I'm going to take that now.
No.
Right. I think it was easy concepts. And you have people in her life, when you're that famous, you have yes men who will just, they're never going to say to you, hey, that sucks, that you, somebody else is doing that. She didn't have a good friend in her life to tell her, hey, that's a Patrice bit, that's an Attell bit. She needed a friend like that. Simple as that. And that, I think she was sort of a victim of just sort of becoming famous and getting almost a little bit lazy, you know? But yeah, I'm very excited about the special. You guys can go purchase it. Real quick, let's get some plug music going. Let's have these guys plug something. We have another 20 minutes or so left in today's show. Thank you. Very special edition of the Real Ass Podcast here. We're streaming live tonight, 8 p.m. It's been 50 minutes right after this. It's going to go live.
Hey,
so,
all right.
Ian, what do you got to plug, my friend?
IanFinance.com for everything running around the city. I got a new podcast out called Sex Ian the City. Me and Jay Miller watch every episode of Sex and the City. I've never seen it. He's seen every episode, and we kind of talk about it. And that's
literally
fun.
Gayer than you blowing men.
Well, that's the Patreon episodes.
Okay.
I Animal on Instagram, and that's about it. Thank you.
All right, all right. Timmy D.
TimDillaComedy.com, April 4th through the 6th. If you're in D.C., please come out to D.C. Improv. Very excited about headlining that room. In May, I'm going to be at Laugh Boston. I'm also going to be Dead Crow Comedy Club in North Carolina. I'm back at Mohegan Sun in June. I'm at the Roar Comedy Club in Springfield, Massachusetts, one of these days. But it's all coming up in the next few months. TimDillonComedy.com for all those dates. Tim Dillon's Going to Hell podcast. Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram. Same handle on Twitter. Thank you.
Yeah, guys, got a couple gigs coming up. I will be Uncle Vinny's 20th or 23rd of this month. That's just next week, I believe. Yeah, 20th or 23rd of this month, March, with Justin Silver at Uncle Vinny's. April 12th, I got a gig in Connecticut. Skankfest tickets are going fast, guys. About 100 passes left, 100 VIP passes left for the entire weekend. Don't miss out. Individual Saturday passes are officially sold out, guys. You will not be able to get into Saturday unless you buy the all-access passes, and they are going. We're getting rid of probably about 20 a day at this point still, so don't wait. I know people are like, oh, well, just wait. I'll just wait. Find out what the fuck happened last year at Skankfest when people waited and they couldn't get in. Don't be that asshole, okay? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, June 21st through 23rd this year. Three full days, all day, all night. Skankfest is the fucking comedy party of the year, okay? Grab your tickets right now, skankfestnyc.com. A lot of amazing stuff planned. A lot of special surprises right now that we're working on that are going to be pretty damn fun.
Awesome.
Nice. Guys, oh, yeah. I'm at Philly Punchline April 12th and 13th. I forgot. Okay. Thanks.
You know, but I hate it. You know, I hate it.
I know.
Oh, fucking Ian. Yeah, so what happened? This cyclist died? She killed herself?
I've never felt bad for a cyclist.
Hey, come on.
Do you cyclist?
I ride a bicycle.
You bicycle.
I don't like
not
call. I don't call myself a cyclist.
You're not a competitive cyclist.
But people call themselves that, and that when they ride a fucking city bike, they sound stupid. That's why I hate cab drivers so much, because they're fucking animals on the road.
It's also kind of weird though, because you guys, this is what they did. This is it's a weird experiment that they did with the whole biking thing in New York City.
I don't
right?
like it.
Not only the city bike thing, but they created these bike lanes like maybe 8-10 years ago.
Correct.
And now we went from. I mean, what would you say is like the modern New York, like crazy traffic, the way it is now? Like, I would say like from the 60s, that's when cars, like everybody had a car.
Well,
70s.
Yeah, but it really intensified. You
70s.
Know, in the, yeah, whatever, sure.
So let's just say 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years of people doing things a certain way, driving right. a little crazy, a little dangerous, fucking... And then what they said is, we're going to change the rules. We're throwing these bike lanes in. Everyone's got to change the way they do everything. And that's fine. But you're going to crack a few eggs in the process.
Bloomberg wanted to ban cars from the city.
Was that the idea?
His idea was to get cars out of the city, make it completely pedestrian city with public transportation, maybe buses, things, certain car, official car, whatever. But that got... voted down. I mean, nobody's going to go in for that. I want to ban bicycles and people that walk. I want everyone in a
if
car.
If you're not emitting
I don't want
some
you,
sort of
something.
I want you not to be able to walk through Central Park. You should have to get in a little go-kart and go through.
Yeah. Just something, even if it's just, if you're just creating some sort of, like, just burn charcoal as you walk through the street.
I don't want to see your legs.
I understand.
Everyone gets an aerosol can. You have to spray it.
Yeah, as long as you are, as long as you're destroying the ozone layer.
Something I like about LA: everybody gets in the car, they get out of the car, in the car, out of the car.
Yeah, and it's weird. It's
if you see somebody walking in LA, you're like, oh, there's.
That's why LA is kind of lonely.
It's very lonely.
It's a lonely place because it's nice weather and all that stuff, but the interaction.
You can't have like an organic hang.
You're only interacting with people in areas of your life that you sort of regularly go to. So there's no variety. There's no mixing things up. There's no like, holy shit, there's a homeless person shitting right. or there's a fucking supermodel. Or it's like, you're not hanging out with a supermodel unless you're at a rooftop party at the W Hotel. That's it. Or you're not hanging out with a homeless person shitting themselves unless you find some like fucking meth addict and like in the back of some old right. Burger King that's been fucking abandoned, right? There's no intermingling of people in LA. So, and I'm sort of a recluse, you know, like I'll just fucking, I don't really like people. So if I'm not forced to interact with people, I would probably end up just, I would never shower anymore. I think if I went to LA, people think you get in shape. I'd be the opposite. I think I would never have to bathe. I would never have to get in shape. I would just get fat.
Yeah.
I would fucking, yeah.
LA, there's more going on than you think.
No, there's a lot going on, but you have to put yourself there. You won't happen upon it.
Here's what I like at this point in my life. I like the effort of like going somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, if I'm going to go somewhere, I want to be there. And if I don't want to go, I'm not going.
Right.
There's something I like about that. When you're young, you like to bump into people. You like things to just... When you're young, you don't want to make plans. You just want to let life happen. Let it happen. Now I'm older. I'm like, no, I want to make time for you. Or if I don't want to make time for you, you're not a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I understand that.
I think eventually I
would probably end up not going anywhere.
I think eventually in 5 years, 10 years, whenever, you're going to end up out there.
In LA?
Yeah, eventually. Because you would really like it.
I think more than likely.
Not immediately.
No, I think more than likely I would probably end up.
I think you'll always keep a place here. I think you'll ping pong. I don't think you'll ever leave. That's what I would like to do. I don't think you'll ever not have a place in New York.
I think the idea of playing ping pong sounds awesome, actually. You just said that. I was like, can we do that instead of comedy? That's also not as ridiculous.
What?
If somebody said, if a little kid comes to you and says, I want to be a stand-up comedian or I want to be a ping pong champion, they're both equally ridiculous.
Your response to both is the same. You smack him in the face.
You hit him right in the face.
And you should go back to school.
Take your fucking pants off. Take your pants off, kid.
Well, you know how to get to either one of those places through my cock. Kid's like, what? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, man.
You would like it out there. Everybody's flashy.
I love
everybody's in the bent.
But I'm not flashy.
In the Tesla. You're going to get flashy. Don't set limits on yourself. I believe in you. You're in the G-Wagon.
You know what I did today?
You're in the G-Wagon.
Or yesterday, you know what I did?
You're outside the Comedy Store in the G-Wagon, stoned as fuck, on Sunset Boulevard.
I spent $380 on a bag.
What kind of bag?
Filson or Filson?
Okay.
You don't even
know. Look it up. F-I-L-S-O-N.
Look it up, Shannon. It's going to it retails for $49.99. Lewis got robbed in Chinatown.
No, it was $300. No, it was like $350 plus tax.
We have a bag for you.
You special bag.
Look at these bags.
Special bag.
For Gas Digital.
Yeah, these bags.
It's a great podcast in the pocket.
You can live stream from the bag.
Yeah. Because I travel a lot, and I wanted a nice book bag to travel, and
you
I would
have
never
a periscope capability in the bag.
USB port right here.
It is a one person podcast studio.
Dude,
we give it to you for $7,000.
Yeah, I don't own anything nice. I don't buy nice clothes. I own a couple of nice watches. But even that, I'm talking about like $500 watches. That's not like a nice watch. That is garbage for like a watch, like a nice watch.
Yeah.
You know, so I would
what's
never.
What's so good about this bag?
It just was nice. I saw it and I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy. I wanted to buy a bag.
Yeah.
And then I went to like this high end like place in Toronto, like fucking cool fucking bag place. And then I was like, I saw the one. I was like, that's the bag that I want. That's it right there. And I was like, all right, how much would I pay for that bag? And then in my head, I was like, $200. $200. And they came back and they went $350. I was like, no fucking way. And then I was like, you know, what am I fucking doing?
Yeah.
What's the difference? I spend money on weed. I spend money on cabs. I spend all this bullshit. Why would I not just spend a little bit of extra cash on myself and have something that's going to probably last four times, five times as long as the dumb fucking book bag I was going to end up buying?
Yeah.
So that was it. $350. It was the most expensive piece of accessory that I've ever purchased in my entire life. And that's the type of garbage person I am.
It's good for you, man. You got to treat yourself like that.
That's but we're not talking about like something really. It's a $350 bag. This isn't even like nice in the world of bags. That's not expensive for a bag.
You gotta live luxuriously.
Right?
My bathroom is Chanel. My bedroom's Louis Vuitton. I got an office decorated in Ralph Lauren. I got a Versace couch and pillows I sleep on with the matching robe and slippers. I beg to differ. La Perla lingerie because it fits my body. Get with us. We know how to throw a party.
Do you like having nicer things? Does that make you feel better?
Not really. What I like is freedom. This is the only thing I like. Literally, the only thing I like is the freedom to do what I want when I want.
Yes,
so I don't care.
That's success, in my opinion.
I don't even care if I live in like two hovels. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to be like, if I'm bored in New York, I want to be able to get on a plane and go to LA.
Go wherever
and
I
if,
want.
Or wherever I want. Or do if I'm bored in LA, I want to go to debt. Like, the only thing I associate money with now is freedom.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
And that's exactly what it is. It's not about having cash or about having things. It's about literally doing what you want to do and having the resources to do that.
That's it.
You know, it's most of the time it's money.
Right.
But I was reading that book, 4-Hour Work Week, and they kind of go into that a lot, Tim Ferriss. And just starts talking about also like how you value your money, because it's like sort of what you do with your money. It's like technically, like if you buy a ski trip, or let's say you buy a surfing trip in Argentina, right? And it costs 1/20th of the surfing trip in Hawaii. It's like the value of the experience is still there. You know what I'm saying? So it's sort of about how you use your money in a smarter way.
Yeah.
Because what's the difference? Really, it's the same value. You know, in fact, this guy might like ski or surfing in Argentina more than surfing in Hawaii. So, yes, I don't know why I was reminded of that. But yeah, I think that that's where I'm sort of kind of coming into a different place in my life as well, where it's like I want to be able to have some nice things. I've talked about this a million times with the Equinox membership. I just feel fucking great. I stayed last night at the Soho Metropolitan in Toronto. Fucking gorgeous. So I didn't book it. This was booked for the Bisping show. But I'm going, it's like, yeah, dude.
It's nice.
It's so much fucking
different,
better.
Different, nicer clothes make you feel differently.
It's not like I stay at the shittiest hotels. I will always pick a budget deal $150 a night room, which is like not cheap, but it's not nice. Like I'll get like an extended stay America or a fucking, you know, one of those, like what are the Hilton like brands that are like underneath the Hilton?
Right.
I don't know what it is, but so I'll go for like something like that. But then I stay at this place last night. I'm like, God damn it, dude. You walk out with your head up a little bit higher. You know what I'm saying? Like they have an umbrella in the room.
Yeah.
And it's like rainy. It's like, I don't like, I get to have this cool fucking.
I like a ship all days in. You know? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this speaks
a red roof.
Me more personally, but I just love it. The dingy stains. Fucking.
Ian,
yeah.
You are a bed bug.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you really like that though?
Kinda, yeah.
I think that's an attic thing.
I love like a shitty, dingy place.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That I have to wear my slippers at.
I used to kind of like it too. I used to like a shitty gym.
I hung at crack houses for years.
Yeah.
But you get to
a dive bar. I used to enjoy a dive bar.
Yeah.
When something's really, really nice, I don't know what to do with it. I'm like, ugh. It feels, because I don't have a ton of nice stuff.
You don't think you deserve it. I was there too. I think you got to get to a point where you go, I deserve this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also, once again, you're not used to being in that situation. It's like the first time you hold something that's really valuable. Like, I don't know if you've ever driven, like, a really nice car.
Yeah.
You feel nervous. It's much different than driving a Honda fucking Civic. You know what I'm saying? If you sit down for, like, in a BMW or Mercedes-Benz, you go slower around the turns. And that's what you're doing right now, is when you have something nice, you're just going slower around the turns. And you're like, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm going to break this. Let me go back to snorting crack off this fucking hooker's dick.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the logo of Days In.
Yes.
Snort crack off this hooker's dick. Free waffles.
But you will.
How bad do you want this Wi-Fi?
The more you get successful and the more you get things, you sort of get, you know. Yeah. I'm in that situation right now where I'm starting to like see certain things. I'm going like, no, I'd rather be in the nice hotel. I'd rather spend the money on the nice hotel. And I will perform better in life. When I roll out of bed, and my feet hit a heated floor.
Yeah.
Okay. I looked in the mirror. I just, everything was more in sync because of that. And I don't know how you can quantify the value, the double the price of the hotel room. I don't know exactly if there's real value there, but I think there is. There's something to it.
Yeah.
It's not just wasting money, right? You're just sleeping in your bed. Who cares? It's not just wasting money.
A lot of it is mental. So I think, if you wear a nice suit,
yeah,
this is a really, to me, it's a great example. If you wear a suit that fits you and you look good and you walk out of your house in a suit, I don't care what you have to do that day, whether you got to go to court or wherever you're wearing, you feel better. There's something, you're like, oh, I'm ready to do shit.
And that's what it is. It's, you know, when you're talking about inspiration or you're talking about, you know, feeling better, it's as simple as that, right? So if I feel as if I'm more successful and I'm projecting that energy onto people, that's really tangible. That's not like you, there's no denying that. If everyone knows, when you look good, you got a fucking fresh haircut, you're in shape, whatever it is, you will project an energy onto people around you, and you can really almost fucking feel that. You could touch it. And that's sort of like a weird lesson that I'm starting to like learn. Like, if I had a car right now, I think I would want to buy a really nice car. I want to have a fucking shitty car.
That's why I'm saying, I think you're eventually, LA is kind of a place where you have, like, the thing about it is you environments matter. In LA, where you live matters.
Yeah.
Your apartment in New York doesn't. Nobody goes to your apartment. Nobody sees where anyone else lives.
It's so shitty. We're living in a war zone. I spend $2,300 a month on rent. And I mean, it is.
It's an apartment. It's fine.
Wood floors, a couple. I have a two bathroom.
By the way, you could spend $8,000 a month. Same shit. Maybe it'll be a little nicer.
I have a
two bedroom,
two bath, and I have laundry in the building.
Yeah.
These are like little perks, right?
Yeah, nice.
But it's just shitty wood floors. There's no crazy crown
molding.
That's
the thing.
It's
about
not beautiful windows.
If you're in LA, you rent or own a house. You walk in your backyard. You're like, I'm in a yard.
Yeah.
You take a breath. You're like, this is my space.
Yeah.
I'm not sharing it with 20,000 other people. I can sit here and breathe.
A sense of ownership.
There's a sense of ownership. You get in your car. You drive. And dude,
could you imagine buying an apartment in New York? It's fucking nuts to me.
It's crazy.
Like, I own
some
a
people
fucking
can.
Slice of this building.
Many of my friends are billionaires that own 30, 40
batshit
room apartments.
Well, once money is not an object, then it sort of becomes like, well, why wouldn't I? It almost becomes like you have these like toys, and like you have a couple apartments, and one of them is your like fucking big thing, you know?
But to me, I've always felt, even such a great fucking word you used, ownership. Because in New York, you barely own your time. You don't own your space. You don't own anything. People are fucking, there's kids on the C train, you know, the baby coughing on you. Like, there's something about LA with more space. Now you own, but there's a huge responsibility that comes with that because it can get very lonely. You have to plan your life. You have to create a life there. New York, we're all sucking off the energy of New York.
It's also, there's something about New York where you have this, you're propped up by
it's an energy,
New York.
Frequency,
well,
absolutely.
You, well, you have this thing where you're like, well, I get to sort of be a little bit poor because I'm in New York.
Right.
I get to have roommates because I'm in New
York. Yes.
I get to be sitting next to a person with shit on their leg because I'm in New York.
Yes, I have shit on my leg because I'm in New York.
And you go, and you sort of like, you take
it's
all these things. Would you say
it's definitely a crutch?
100%. And you feel like, oh well, it's, you know, it's cool. It's like you'll see, like they'll be like literally like fucking rich people, and they're like, I'm fucking taking the subway today because it's a New York cool thing to do.
Right.
You're like, you get out of your fucking mind.
Yeah. What are you doing?
So yeah, it's a weird culture here.
But that's where everybody gets really good.
We take shit in New York because the opportunities here. People make a lot of money here.
This is why you get good at whatever you're doing here.
And you get the fuck out.
You get good here. You don't get good there.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get good. A few people can. It's very hard to get good at anything there.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of people, you get good here.
Yeah, well, it's inspiration here.
Yeah.
It's, we got to end the show in a second, but this was kind of an interesting point. You know, I was talking to my therapist about this, but like I grew up in Rockland County, New York, which is like fucking the suburbs.
Yeah.
And I was kind of making this point of like, oh, well, you know, I'm sure like kids in like the inner city, you know, they get, you know, their experience is probably worse than mine growing up in like poverty in the suburbs.
Not really.
But not at all.
Not at all.
Because at least in the inner city, they have inspiration.
Right.
They have artists. They have people.
Gangs. things that are
guns,
cool.
Drugs.
Guns, gangs, drugs.
But they can walk down the street and you have a CEO.
You'll
or
never
a,
know a
multimillionaire.
Moment that's that close when some gang member says, suck my cock right now. Yeah. Suck my dick, and you suck his dick. And it's not gay. It's respect.
That's how you become a nieta.
Is that true? Don't call out.
It's a nieta.
I used to be friends with some of those guys when I was doing coke.
What's a nieta?
Don't call them out on the fucking
whatever. Can I tell you why? If I would have said a Crip or a Blood, nobody would have said anything because that's just the generic fucking gang.
That's true.
Since I said nieta, which is like
specific.
That's very specific.
It's very specific.
It made them uncomfortable.
Yeah, maybe a coke because I knew some of those guys. I used to buy coke from them when I was in eighth grade.
When I was 12, I got beat up by a nieta who was 19.
I bet they weren't even nieta. They were probably just fucking looked at you.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't want to question his nietiness because
they have the beads and everything.
Yeah,
they're good people.
I'm a
huge fan.
of nietas.
Tim Dillon is a huge fan.
The Nieta podcast hosted by Tim Dillon.
It's coming. It's just me for Puerto Rico. That's it. Maurice is on it.
All right, look, we're gonna wrap this one. Great show as always, gentlemen.
Thank
Ian Fidance on Twitter, Tim J Dillon on Twitter at Luis J Gomez at I am Shannon Lee at the Chin Turn _. The Chin _ fuck. The Chin _. At Real Ass Podcast. I'm going to be doing a couple live podcasts. Or not live podcasts, but I'll be doing a couple podcasts from Jamaica with my girlfriend Kim Congdon over the next few days. So look out
it's
for
called,
those.
Where's her body?
If you could find her body. We'll see what happens. It's just me talking with her head. Lewis, you're the best. I appreciate everything. Oh, thanks, Kim. Wow, we have such a great relationship. Oh, I love you too, babe. Mwah, mwah, mwah. And fuck her dead body. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the best sex we ever had. Who knows? All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We're out.
C'est la vie. Adios. Good riddance. Fuck you.
That's all, folks.